Stop press! Once again, we stop the roar of the mighty presses to invite you to meet the members of the Weekly Bind newspaper. The members of its staff are Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Costa, Maurice Denham, Medora Bryan, the BBC Men's Chorus, and the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz.
Well, we should only want about 200 words. It'd be a great boost for our newspaper. Yes, but I mean the name of Hutton would be such a tremendous... Well, if our readers haven't seen you in the flesh, they will have witnessed your recent magnificent performance on the screen.
Morning, Murdoch.
Good morning, sir. Excuse me, this is very important. It's Hutton.
Who?
Len Hutton, sir. I'm trying to persuade him to write an article for us.
Oh.
I've had 5 previous tries and now it's just a toss-up. No, not you. Mr. Horne's just come in. He's a great fan of yours, too, and we both admire your aggressiveness. Your square cut and we get a great thrill out of the glances to leg. What? Your voice sounds a bit unusual. That is Len Hutton, isn't it? Who? Oh, I'm so sorry. In that case, I take back everything I said except the bit about the glances to leg. That wasn't Len Hutton at all, sir.
Who was it?
Betty Hutton.
Oh. Murdoch, you might have kept her on a bit. I'd like to have told her how much I admire
her. Yes, I'm sure you would, sir. Yes.
Switchboard!
Look here. Miss Klingbein, this isn't good enough. You got me Betty Hutton.
Oh, yes, sir, dear. And I had a word with her first. She's ever so nice, you know. I only talked to her about her last picture. I was the soul of discretion.
Soul of my foot. Miss Hutton was speaking from Hollywood. We'll have to stop the amount of the call out of your wages.
Oh, won't be tied. Who was it you wanted to talk to?
Len Hutton.
Who's he when he's at home?
Oh, dear. He's just recovered the ashes for us.
Well, I can't be expected to know the dustman by name.
Really, Miss Klingbein, you're incorrigible.
And to you.
Well, now, Murdoch, about the Weekly Bind. I've been on a short holiday, so enlighten me.
Certainly, sir. What do you want to know?
Well, what's occurred?
Occurred, sir? Well, it's the sort of thing Miss Muffet had with some way.
Oh, that's very good. I knew Miss Muffet had a way with her. I didn't know she had a curd. It's very nice.
Oh, you dear old-fashioned thing. Actually, sir, I'm rather pleased with some of these scoop press photographs that Maurice Davenport's been getting with his new plastiminibox camera.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, plastiminibox camera.
Yes.
This one, for instance, he took when he went to judge the Brighton Bathing... You know, do you remember when we went to judge the Brighton Bathing Beauty Competition,
yes,
sir?
I do.
Nearly got it. You've come out extremely well.
I have?
Yes, surrounded by the contestants. I bet your wife will be proud to see that on the front cover.
I bet she won't. I told her I was in Pontefract.
What did you say you were doing?
Inspecting some property.
Well, weren't you?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Incidentally, sir, I'm sure you'll be interested to see the new photographic section. It's located in the basement in the corner of the old printing room. I'll take you down, sir.
Oh, thank you, Murdoch. How's Cluffett, by the way?
Much the same, sir. Incidentally, the basement's a great haunt of Cluffett's. Careful of that step, sir. The moisture seeps off the walls a bit.
Yes, it's quite a way down, Murdoch. I hope you've got some light down there.
It's a bit dark at the moment, sir, but we'll be all right as soon as we can... Give me a hand with this iron door, will you, sir? It's a bit of...
Oh! By Jove, it is dark. I hope there's no... Murdoch, what's that?
It's a bat.
Oh. You know, Bessie's terrified of bats, afraid of them getting in her hair.
Well, you've got nothing to worry about, sir.
Murdoch, what's that distant glimmer of light through that grating?
I don't know. I've never noticed it before. Wait a minute, sir. Oh, heavens. A train.
Where's it going to?
Denham, I should think. You know, sir, it's absolutely pitch black down here. I know there's a switch somewhere. You work along that wall, and I'll work along this one.
Well, just a minute, Murdoch. I think I've got something here. It feels like a switch. I'll try it. Murdoch, I'm covered in papers. This printing machine must have been set up.
Well, the press hasn't been used for years, sir. Let's see what is printed. I've got one match left. Wait a minute. Ah, here we are. H.M. the Queen and other members of the royal family returned from Balmoral today.
Well, it's absolutely bang up to date.
I don't think it is, sir, because it goes on to say she was greeted on her arrival by Mr. Disraeli. Oh, there goes my last match. We must find a light switch. I'll grope this way along this wall and you grope the other way.
Okay, Murdoch, grope.
Right. Oh, it seems ridiculous to put a switch in such an inaccessible... Oh! Oh, this is terrible. How are you getting on, sir? Sir, where are you?
I'm over here, Murdoch. I'm trying to find the... Oh!
What's the matter?
A water rat's just got on my right trouser leg. Oh, what shall I do?
Who do you think I am, George Cansdale?
It's all right, it's come out of my left sleeve.
Terrific echo in here, isn't there, sir?
Terrific echo in here, isn't there, sir? Terrific what, Murdoch?
Terrific Bob Murdoch? Echo!
Echo!
What? Echo!
Echo! Murdoch, can you lend me a pound?
Echo!
Pity!
Wait a minute, sir. I think I can see a faint gleam of light under the door over there. It's probably the light from the dark room.
But if there's a light in it, it can't be a dark room.
That's absurd. You might as well say if you stand up in a sitting room, it becomes a standing room. What would you do if you found bats in the ballroom?
Send them back to the belfry, of course.
Anyhow, let's work our way round to the door. Okay, sir, I do hope we can... Ooh!
Oh, steady, Murdoch, keep your head down, otherwise you might get up... Ooh!
We're getting warm now, sir. I wouldn't be surprised if... Ooh!
What was that noise?
That was me going... Ooh!
Well, don't do it, Murdoch.
Here we are, sir. I found the door handle. Oh, it's pretty dim in here, isn't it?
Oh, I've just run into some old cobwebs or something.
Good morning, sir. The fact that I am alone here in the dark with Miss Plum is entirely co-educational.
As I suspected. Are you all right, Miss Plum?
Oh, yes. Sam asked me to come in here with him to await developments.
What photos are you developing, Costa?
Well, last Saturday I snapped Miss Plum and she snapped me back.
Did she?
Yes, I can show you the tooth marks.
Oh, good heavens, has she got any tooth marks?
No, when I snapped her, I forgot to put my plate in.
Well, let's have a look at some of the negatives. Do you know what a negative is, Miss Plum?
No.
That's right.
Now, this one here, sir, is rather curious.
Oh, look at me. Oh, good gracious, my face has come out all black and my hair all white.
Oh, you don't want to worry, Miss Plum. When it's printed, you'll be reversed.
Do you mean I'll come out upside down?
No, no, no. No, your face will come out white and your hair will be its natural colour.
Oh, dear, and after all the money I've spent on rinses making it this colour.
Look, you don't quite understand, Miss Plum. The printing process causes the black of the negative to become white and the white black.
Good gracious, why would that be?
Well, it's a chemical process, really. Whenever an alkali is attacked by an acid, it reacts on the spectrum and sort of eats its way through the thin layer of manganese and hypostyllium. And on the other hand, by Jove, that's an attractive sweater you've got on.
Oh, do you like it? I knitted it myself from a paper pattern.
Really? It looks just like wool.
Oh, you are comic. You ought to meet Iris. She's a scream too when she gets going. She was knitting herself a stole last week, and she said she started it as a bolero and had to unravel it as it was an unravels bolero. Well, talk about love.
You know, it's a funny thing. Emily knitted me a cardigan for my birthday.
What about it, Costa?
It's a funny thing.
You know, Murdoch, the equipment in the dark room is most impressive. What's that machine there for?
That's an enlarger, sir. Anything you put in it comes out twice the size.
Oh, well, perhaps I could bring my bank balance round sometime.
Well, now, sir, we must press on. Miss Plum, you and Costa mustn't waste too much time down here.
Mr. Costa doesn't waste any time, I assure you.
Now, sir, I think if we go up these few stone steps, you'll be interested to go into this room where we have a chap who instructs the news vendors how to shout his wares. This way.
Bad at all. Now, Mr. Higgins, I want to hear you shout, weekly bind, special edition, read all about it, threepence only.
Weekly bind, special edition, read all about it, threepence only.
No, that's not quite right, because I could almost understand what you were saying. Once more, please.
Weekly bind, weekly bind,
all. Oh, that's a great improvement. I think that if you persevere, you'll...
You know, sir, when I was a street vendor, I used to say, oh, shut off, it's all down, love that, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. They used to go like hot cakes.
What were you selling?
Hot cakes.
Funny, I used to be in that business, but I used to stand on the corner saying, sorry, not today, not today.
Why was that?
The firm I worked for had gone bust. Now, what's in this room here?
Oh, you remember, sir. It's the stobbing shop where we have that wonderful all-purpose machine. Oh, hello, Mr. Beauvoir. How's the stobbing machine going?
Well, sir, not very well, I'm afraid, sir. Can't understand it. It's inexplicable.
What's the trouble?
Well, I think it's partly the paper, sir. It isn't absorbable. And that's why the printing is sometimes illegible.
Well, you realise, Mr. Bubble, that part of the trouble is the fact that there's too much pressure building up. Now, if you were to turn this lever here, it would...
What are you using the machine for today, Mr. Bubble?
Well, sir, you remember last week it was putting ticks on O's and turning them into Q's?
Yes.
Well, this week, for some incredible reason, we need a lot of O's.
Really?
Yes, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's fantasticable.
It's past all comprehension, Bubble.
Yes, and so I'm putting letter I's in the machine, and it bends them round and turns them into letter O's.
Well, I'd like to see that. Switch it on, Mr. Bubble.
I'll just plug in this cable, and I'll turn the switch on and...
I. Now, what happens, Mr. Bubble, if you've got enough O's and suddenly want some more eyes?
Well, I just reverse the switch and it goes...
Very impressive. Well, cheerio, Mr. Bubble.
Cheerio, sir. Embrace me, my sweet embraceable.
Now, sir, I think we've just got time to... Oh, there you are, Costa. By the way...
If you'll pardon my corruption, sir, I am not Costa at the moment.
What are you talking about?
I am my pseudonym, Prudence Gush, in the throes of composition.
Well, I hope Prudence Gush knows about her moustache. And, and when will Prudence finish with her throes?
She's practically thrust now. Listen. Pleasant Thought for the Day by Prudence Gush, Nee Costa.
I see,
I call it, I pick the roses, but the roses never pick me.
Very nice.
How beautiful it is to hear the nightingale in song. How sweet to hear the bleat of lambs as o'er the downs they throng. How glorious to hear the lark a-singing in his flight. Perhaps the loveliest of sounds is this one, flying tonight.
What do you think of that, sir?
I'd call it epoch-making.
I quite agree. It's made my whole epoch.
Good.
Go and get Mr. Bubble to print it, Costa, and prepare another one for next week.
Right you are, sir. The Whiffle Snoop and Sawdy Grass were spelwin through the drumsy. They trip like spangabs through the gleb when... Clumsy.
Well, I think it's time to go in here and get the press gang to sing to us.
So do I. After you, Murdoch.
Good morning, press gang. Good morning. And what are you going to sing for us today?
Hallelujah! Days we had, those old hymns made everybody glad. In that sunny land of milk and honey, we had no complaints, right with all the saints. So we say to all the babies sad, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, and to shoo the blues away. And to shoo ya, hallelujah, get you through the darkest day. Waiting and creating skies of red. Hallelujah, hallelujah, helps to show the clouds away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, keeps you bright and gay.
Show the blues away!
you're good looking. Oh, it's you, Mr. Davenport.
Hello.
You can come in any time you like.
Oh, I say.
I'm just going to play over the recording of my interview with Cecil Mincingham during his autumn collection dress show. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, rather. It'd be absolutely lush.
Well, I'll just switch the recording on. Plum, speaking to you from Cecil Mincingham's salon in Mayfair, where the cream of London society have just witnessed the most interesting and unusual collection of autumn modes. Standing by my side now is that brilliant young designer whose every whim is reflected in his creations, which he so unflinchingly creates, and whom, with the touch of his magic fingers, can turn any old sow's ear into a silk purse. Mr. Cecil Mincingham.
Oh, how do you do? I'm so glad you were able to get along to my little show.
Tell me, Mr. Mincingham, or should I say Cecil?
Mr. Mincingham.
Mr. Mincingham, I am the fashion expert of that popular paper, The Weekly Bind.
My dear lady, if you're a fashion expert, you surely wouldn't wear a mauve feather boa with those white Harris tweed jodhpurs.
Well, I have been riding down the road.
It looks as if you've been rowing down a ride. Now, you want my opinion on the new length skirt.
Well, I don't really, but I'm sure my readers are all very curious.
I don't doubt they are. Well, as far as skirt lengths are concerned, it's entirely a matter of personal choice. Now, for instance, Deirdre, will you step over here a minute?
Yes, Mr. Mincingham.
This skirt is designed for the youthful pencil type figure. And you'll notice that it fits tightly at the front. And turn around, Deirdre. Even more snugly at the...
Oh, good gracious.
Well, Deirdre, you shouldn't have had porridge for breakfast.
My friend Iris had a somewhat similar experience at the Pally one night. She was wearing her grey-green grosgrain and in the middle of the hokey coke.
Yes, I'm sure it did.
Well, anyway, Iris passed it off with one of her spontaneous quips. Oh, she's a scream, is Iris, when she gets going. She said, "Aren't we having a ripping evening?" Well, I mean to say, love.
Yes, I'm sure you did. Now, in this evening dress here, I've tried to recapture the simple, though voluminous, dignity of the crinoline. Pamela, step this way a minute, will you?
Coming, Mr. Mincingham.
Pamela, please.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Mincingham, I forgot.
Yes. Now, Pamela. Pamela, dear. Pamela, turn round slowly and show the lady the dress.
Oh, now, that really is a picture. There must be layer after layer and yards of material in that skirt.
Oh, a tremendous number. And I think you'll be surprised to notice that if I lift aside these flounces here to reveal the underskirt, we find...
Good morning, sir. Was there something?
Oh, Sam, really, whatever are you doing here?
I'm waiting for a 25 bus.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, that was quite a revelation. I don't know when I've...
Oh, there you are, Miss Plum. I see you've got the recording machine there. Just run the tape back, will you? We've got another recording to play over.
Righty-ho.
That's better. Now then.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I'm just putting the finishing touches to my musical notes for the week.
And what are your notes this week?
And hmm.
Oh, Costa.
They aren't your real notes, are they?
No, sir.
Well, let's hear the proper ones.
What was the last one? Very nice.
And this is how my article goes. Yesterday evening at the Festival Hall, London's music-loving public were treated to a spirited rendition of Broccoli's Seventh Symphony in E-sharp major, commonly known as the Blancmange Symphony because of its well-known wobbly movement. Unlike Schubert's unfinished symphony, which never ended, this never should have begun. Sir Malcolm Sargent handled the Swindon Supersonic Orchestra with great skill, and Izzy Bond handled the vocals. Miss Helga Hamburger, the celebrated harpy,
That's harpist.
Oh, sorry, harpist. Negotiated the long and difficult passage at the opening, notwithstanding the revolving door at the end. Coffee and cakes were served during the third tacit. Towards the end of the evening, Sir Malcolm congratulated his boys on the way they bust Basin Street Blues. And the concert finished with a lively jam session, during which the rhythm section gave their own special arrangement of Oh My Beloved Daddy, featuring Leon Goossens on the electric oboe.
And it sounds a most inspiring concert, Costa.
Oh, it was, sir. Mind you, I wasn't there myself.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I got a ghostwriter to do the article for me.
Verbatim?
No, Charlie's Staircase. And next week, I'm reviewing light opera.
Light opera? Conducted by Sidney Torch, I suppose. Oh, hear that, Murdoch?
Yes.
Oh.
No, sir. Now, I shall be dealing with Gilbert and Sullivan. Oh, by the way, what does oleaginous mean?
Oleaginous means oily.
Oily?
Yes, why?
Well, I shall just head my article, The Doleaginous Cart Opera Company.
But you don't know anything about opera, Costa.
Well, didn't you know that one of my pseudonyms is Benjamin Britten?
Don't be ridiculous, Costa.
And what's more, I sing tenor under the name of Mario Lanza.
Costa!
All right, so I'm a liar.
Well, now, sir, perhaps we can play over the recording of the interview at Edinburgh.
Yes, dear.
Oh, dear, come in.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Mulch. How does your garden grow?
Well, you remember last week I told you I had the Colorado beetles in my potatoes?
Yes.
Well, they've gone.
Oh, splendid.
Yeah. There wasn't much point in them staying.
Why not?
They'd finish the potatoes.
Oh, I see.
Aye, they're on my best rhubarb now, but that's all right.
Why?
I don't like rhubarb. By the way, have you got a pair of old stockings, some melon rind and some yesterday's cornflakes?
Why, you've taken the day off?
No, I want it for me compost heap.
Now, Murdoch, quick, switch the machine on. I can't wait to hear how I sound on tape.
Right, sir.
Well, I'm standing here on the esplanade of Edinburgh Castle. I was hoping you'd be able to hear the pipes, but they're being lagged for the winter. These Scottish people are rightly proud of this beautiful city and of this splendid festival, and I'll just stop one of them and get him to talk to us. Excuse me, sir, what's your name?
Bunce.
Surely it must be McBunce.
No, just Bunce, Harry Bunce.
Oh, where do you come from, East Lothian?
No, East Finchley.
Oh. I see, I suppose it's the festival that brought you up here.
No, I came by coach. We had several stops on the way, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
I was referring to the Edinburgh International Festival.
Oh, that'll be nice for it, yes.
For instance, you probably enjoyed Fernando Previtali and Gioconda De Vito on Sunday evening.
No, I had spaghetti and Scots brawls,
And I suppose you like eating haggis and listening to the bagpipes?
Oh, yes, I had that for dinner yesterday. Only, by the taste of it, I think I was eating the bagpipes and listening to the haggis,
Now, when you're not on holiday, Mr...
Bunce, Harry Bunce.
Bunce, yes. What's your ordinary job?
I'm a crumpet holer.
A crumpet holer? What does that involve?
I put the holes in the crumpets.
Put the holes in crumpets?
Yes. The unpunctured crumpet comes down the conveyor belt from the crumpet foundry.
And you put the holes in?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, different ways, you know. Yes, as long as the crumpet has holes in it, eventually nobody minds how I do it. Sometimes I use a skewer, sometimes a brace and bit. I've even been known to use the enemy keychain before now.
And so the crumpets don't have any holes in until they reach you, eh?
Only on very rare occasions.
And what do you do with them then?
I fill up the holes and sell them as muffins.
I see. Well, now tell me, Mr.
Bunce, Harry Bunce.
Yes. Why do crumpets have holes?
Well, it's economical, you see. It saves putting the dough in the bits of crumpet where the holes are, so you can save that bit of dough and use it to make more crumpets.
I see. Oh, thank you very much, Mr.
Bunce, Harry Bunce.
Thank you, Mr. Bunce. Now, we'd like you to choose a piece of music for us to play for you. What's it to be?
Oh, my favourite piece.
What's that?
The Crumpet Voluntary. Good afternoon.
Very interesting recording, sir. I'm sure an article based on that will be a real boom to crumpet lovers. By the way, how does the Crumpet Voluntary go?
Oh, you know, Murdoch, it's a little thing that goes something like this.
And much mining in the marsh. The Edinburgh Festival is thriving. Tiddlympomp.
And much mining in the marsh. Each day more foreign tourists keep arriving.
The city's full of actors and musicians of renown.
The Usher Hall so packed that the promoters needn't frown.
What hall did you say, Murdoch?
Usher.
Usher?
All fall down.
At
much, binding in the marsh. At
much, binding in the marsh.
A few weeks back, the papers had a heading.
At much, binding in the marsh. To tell the world of gorgeous Gus's wedding.
We feel that when a wedding of a couple's taken place,
the man should wear the trousers and in gorgeous Gus's case,
we wonder if the husband wears the panties made of lace.
At much, binding in the marsh.
At much, binding in the marsh.
Here it comes. Our new machine's the finest ever thought of.
At much, binding in the marsh. Providing all the letters we are short of.
W.
Q. That's W into Q.
M.
U.
That's M into U.
Oh, oh, oh.
That's Murdoch's finger into two.
At much, binding in the marsh. Last verse, at much,
binding in the marsh.
The radio show is starting soon, they tell us.
At much, binding in the marsh. We're going there to see what they can sell us.
I'm going to buy a portable. I think they're awful fun.
I'll buy a console set to hear the programs we have done.
I think I'll buy an upper set to match my lower one.
At much, binding in the marsh.
Echo!
Echo!
At much, binding in the marsh.
Quiz! Echo!
At much,
binding in the marsh.
That was the fifth edition of Much Binding, with Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, with Sam Coster, Maurice Denham, as Mrs. Davenport, Mulch, Bubble, Mincingham and Ivy, Dora Bryan, Cluffit, the BBC Men's Chorus, and the BBC Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The script was by Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, and this recorded program was produced by Leslie Bridgemont.